Right in the middle of the heat, it is time for electrification. Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy that you're here. We've got some really cool stuff that we're going to talk about, and literally cool stuff to talk about. Bill Jensen's here. I'm Corey Lopez.
Hello.
The cool stuff.
Right.
Certainly worth it here.
Nice to be cool when it's hot.
Oh, you know, we get our heat waves. You know, at the end of May, into June, we got, you know, all that rain, and it was great. And, you know, I'm sure people weren't necessarily thinking about air conditioning. In fact, I think our heater came on at one point, just enough because it had dropped below like 66 degrees in the house or whatever it was. But the phones ring for you guys when it gets really hot, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's the height of our season. When things get really hot outside, then phones get really busy.
Well, and the issue being, and we're going to start talking about this, when something's broke, they want it fixed. If it can't be fixed, they want it replaced. Mm-hmm. And in this world of, you know, fast food and, you know, we can Amazon, you know, we can Instacart things, and you just get it like almost right away. It's hard to do these days when it comes to heating, air conditioning, heat pumps, certainly geothermal. You can't just, you know, turn it right around. But it's not that you guys aren't willing to do it. You have other customers. You have a schedule. You guys are pretty busy. But at the same time, you got to make sure you have, you've got to order all this stuff out too. And, you know, we've been talking about since coming out of the pandemic, I mean, we were always talking about supply chain issues. And that's kind of a overused buzzword, I think. But there are some issues that are cropping up here with some of the new regulations coming from the EPA and things like that, where we're trying to be more green with the alternative energy. their own little issues are they're not making enough of some stuff that you need for all of this. So it's interesting how it's worked out. Like the regulations come into effect. I know that you know, actually some of the really cool stuff that's popped up is the financing and the rebates that have come out. You know, we're really trying to turn to this really great thing. But tell me what you're seeing here in, you know, and particularly as we start to go into this summer here and we come into 2025 with the new regulations that have popped up when it comes to the coolants and things like that.
Yeah, it's really been an interesting year so far this year because the refrigeration transition is in full effect. And so that was mandated by the EPA, so that, you know, effective the 1st of 2025, that the manufacturers could not manufacture any more equipment with the older refrigerant, which is the R410. And so no more of that equipment is being manufactured, and all the new equipment is being manufactured with the new refrigerant, which is either R32 or R454. And so anything that's sold going forward has to be using that refrigerant. And so there's still a little bit of R410 equipment available, but, you know, it's pretty much those supplies are depleted. So we're strongly into the new style of refrigerant, which the reason that was mandated was because it was a lower global warming potential, which means it's better for the environment. So that's the reason for the big shift. And so we've had to adapt. And yeah, it's been a challenge. The refrigerant is available. The equipment is available, but the refrigerant is available in very limited supplies. And what we're encouraging people to do is to not wait until you are in an emergency situation, because then you're sort of at the mercy of whatever's available, and you're sort of at the mercy of, you know, the contractors. And yeah, because our phones get busy and everybody would like something pretty much instantaneously, you know, especially if their equipment is broken and they're sweltering hot, or even in the winter if it's freezing cold and you have to replace the whole system, then it's far better to plan for these kinds of purchases in advance and do your homework and do your shopping and then figure out what the best value is.
So It's hot now. People think my air conditioner's busted. Like, it just doesn't seem to be working. You guys come out, you check it out, obviously. You could tell them, you know, ooh, we could limp this thing along, you know, figure it out. Or we could replace it. And, oh, by the way, your furnace is probably 12, 15 years old. You're saying better to do something now as opposed to when my furnace isn't working. And then they go, oh, wouldn't it be great? We wanted to do heat pumps, and we want to do that. And you go, well, okay, but you remember I talked to you in the summer. Here's what it costs then, and here's what it's going to cost now, because, and here's the question I asked you. This is layman's term. Heat pumps use refrigerants?
So, yes. So, so you have to think of the system kind of holistically. In other words, if you have a 20-year-old furnace and you want to replace the air conditioner that's also 20 years old, it does not make sense to replace just the air conditioner or just the furnace. And part of the reason for that is just, you know, because you're sort of inviting more repair bills. But the bigger reason actually is because if you want to take advantage of the rebates that are available, those are awarded to people that replace the whole system. And so the air conditioner is the outdoor unit, and it has a coil on sitting on the indoor unit, and that's all one part of the system, so that uses refrigerant. And what a heat pump is a heat pump is also an outdoor unit, so you use the outdoor unit to heat and to cool, not just to cool like you would with an air conditioner, but it uses refrigerant in that process for both heating and cooling. And then the indoor unit can either be your backup source of heat, like a furnace, or if it's fully electric, like what we do a lot of, then the backup heat can be just an air handler with a, you know, working with the heat pump, but also putting in electric strip heat. So you can completely eliminate the use of natural gas or propane if you want to.
Okay. So the concern isn't necessarily that with the new refrigerant to go out and do repairs or service, or, I mean, brand new heat pumps, you service, obviously, that's fine. You don't necessarily need to have the refrigerant for you right then on newer units, right? I mean, that's...
Right, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, when we do the startup, we adjust the charge, so sometimes we have to add a little refrigerant. But the systems normally come pre-charged with refrigerant, and what we're doing out in the field is we're putting the system together, and then our technicians have the training to go through and test to see if the right amount of free refrigerant is in the system. Sometimes we take a little out, sometimes we put a little in. But in order for the system to operate at peak efficiency, you've got to make that adjustment.
What we're talking about with the refrigerant then is it's the new units.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're going to cost, those costs could go up by waiting. It's not like the unit's not going to be there, but you may be costing yourself some money.
Yeah. And we try to hold our prices level through the seasons. You know, in the seasons that are a little bit more temperate, like the fall and the spring, then the competition is pretty stiff. And so, you know, like everybody else, we have to stay competitive. And when the demand is high, then, you know, we, you know, return to our normal pricing. But it is seasonal. And, you know, the thing that really makes the biggest difference, though, I think, in my opinion, is that, you know, these systems are a lot more complicated. So it's the difference between working on a 1965 Chevy pickup versus working on a 2025 vehicle with all the computers and things like that. So you know they need to be set up properly. And what I feel like is that a lot of our competition, you know, and I know this from interviewing a lot of people that, you know, want to go to work for us, that you know, that a lot of companies are very adamant that their installers complete the system in one day. And for these systems, you know, generally a very good quality installation is going to take our technicians 2 days. And the reasons for that is because you know, if you're rushing through it and you're under, you know, a deadline like that, you know, they're going to make mistakes. And, you know, we sometimes are able to do an installation in a day, but for the most part, we like to take 2 days, and that's so that we can do the Excel testing to get the rebate. And, if you're pressed for time because you're super hot or you got to get to the next job or the owner is, you know, impatiently waiting for there to be a nice 75 degree house, then, then, you know, it just makes it so that there's more chances for mistakes to be made. So we really encourage people, especially people that are planners, to start looking at, you know, getting something done before it gets super cold or super hot. And that way we can put in a high quality installation and really explain to people what the differences are between System A and System B.
That's important. Remember, you can always go online. You can check out what we're talking about. We get great information when you go to our blogs. You're already in our podcast area, unless you're listening on Spotify. Thank you. You go to sensibleheat.net, though. You can find us. You can also call with questions. And that's Monday through Friday, 720-876-7166. You can find out all this information that we are talking about here. You talked about planning, people who are planning and want to do this kind of stuff. I wanted to ask this question. You still do traditional HVAC. You do Certainly. Traditional... air conditioning too. Mm-hmm. There's limits though to when you can put in air conditioners, right? It has to be a certain temperature in order to put it in and have it run at peak efficiency, that kind of stuff. You don't have to do that with heat pumps, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, of course. And so, you know, there's just so many more choices than there used to be. So 20 years ago when we were doing this, there was you had a furnace, you had an air conditioner. It was either a single stage or a two stage. And there really wasn't anything, you know, modulating wasn't a thing. Heat pumps really have just become a thing in the past few years. We've been doing heat pumps here a long time, but, you know, the majority of the market has not even really looked at heat pumps except in the last 2 or 3 years. So, you know, working through those choices is really an individual choice, and it's a process. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting in a regular furnace and a regular air conditioner if that's what makes sense for that particular home and in that family. And if people are interested in using heat pumps, you know, for whatever reason, because they have solar panels on the roof or they're just trying to reduce their gas consumption, so it's not really a one-size-fits-all situation, and every house is different. So, you know, you have to more or less custom build the system to fit that house and fit the personal preferences of that person. And that's why we really, you know, pride ourselves in having very knowledgeable estimators that go out and design and tailor the system, you know, for that person. You know, some people are, you know, very budget conscious. So we, you know, try to make sure that we're going to put in a system that's going to be as economical as possible and do the job. And then other people are very concerned about comfort. And so for those people, you may want to go to a higher end system that does modulation and is energy as efficient as possible.
Yeah. It's the techs that you have, the people that even just design all of this, you have the sensible culture is really something. And I know that you've added some new people. Obviously, you know, through attrition, some people move on and do some other things and things like that, but the culture always kind of stays the same. You really have some great people, very customer service oriented and just trying to, and also very conscious of
what a lot of people are looking for these days, and that is to, with, you know, alternative energy and things like that, you're just trying to peace of mind. You're thinking green. You're thinking of, you know, future generations too.
Yeah. We had one client who was talking to a company, and they were very anxious to have her get started the same day with, you know, the job that she was wanting. And she was very uncomfortable with that because she wasn't sure if that was the right fit for her house. And so when we went up there, we talked to her about some different options, and we took our time and really evaluated the house. We did a load calculation, looked at her ductwork, looked at the building envelope. We encouraged her to do an energy audit through, you know, we didn't do that. There's another independent company that does that. The energy audit told us a lot about the leakage in the house and how tight the ductwork was and things like that. So, you know, by going through that whole process, then she was able to make a very informed choice as opposed to one where she felt like she was under a lot of pressure. And yeah, so it's really important to do your homework on things like that.
Yeah, and you do that with all your customers. But you did the work though, right?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Yeah. See? That's important too. One last thing before we go. Remember, you can always find us Spotify, Apple Music now. Always go to our website, sensibleheat.net. And if you want to find out more information about some of the things that we're talking about too, go ahead. Click onto electrification of houses is one of our tabs. You know, all the things that we can do, they're on our website. You want to check us out, we would love it. We're on Google Business. You could call us 720-876-7166. We're in the middle of the hot. And there's a place in my house that just doesn't cool down.
Mm.
There's just a place. You guys do mini splits as well. I mean, you don't come in and just replace an entire system sometimes. Sometimes that's not what they need right now. And I thought maybe we'd touch on mini splits here just so people know about that this summer.
Yeah, it's a great way to overcome some of those spot cooling issues. And the nice thing about it is that you don't have to run the air conditioner for the whole house to just keep one room cool. And so it's a very economical way to cool. You know, if you have a family room where people like to hang out that you can't ever get to be the right temperature, then that's a great way to solve that problem. And they also, you know, we also put in mini splits that have several zones, so you can actually have two or three or four zones off of one outdoor unit. And what's nice about that is then you can just cool or heat the room that you're actually occupying, and people really love that too. So lots of good options there as well.
You can read more about it. Do your research. Certainly do your research before you call or email us. We have virtual estimates as well, which helps. That gives the techs for Sensible a little bit of a jump start. They can see what they're dealing with before they come out and talk to you or talk to you on the phone or whatever you would like. Good stuff. Stay cool, okay?
Thanks, you too. I know it's the thick of baseball season, and sitting out in those hot bleachers, I can't believe all the cool little tents and things that people have these days to be able to stay in the shade. But great idea. I just want to come up with like a little miniature air conditioner to put in for those little tent things.
A mini split for the tent?
Right.
That would be awesome.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you just carry around a little outdoor unit and a compressor, and we'll get your 14-year-old stem son on that one, right?
Well, yeah, I know. That's not a bad idea. For those wondering about our family and the baseball is, you know, not only do we enjoy playing in the hot of the front range, which is, you know, every weekend essentially, we decided we'd go to Phoenix and Dallas too. So that was fun.
It'll be hot.
Yeah, that was definitely hot. Yeah. All right. We'll talk to everybody again soon. Next month, we are going to be talking about some predatory things that may potentially be out there and how to help you with that. That in our next edition of Electrification.